Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
The reading today is Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, she will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in all the earth." The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Here ends the reading.
Well, good morning. Welcome to church. My name is Beck, for those people who don't know me. I'm just going to pray for us before we begin. Heavenly Father, we sit in your presence. You call us to the altar. And we're thankful that in your presence, true peace and true love can be experienced. I pray, Spirit, that you work through the words, that your voice, Father, would be the only thing that we hear. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. When was the last time that you just stopped? Your body stopped, your mind stopped. When was that the last time that you can remember? Chat to the person next to you. When was the last time your brain just stopped? You can't include sleep. Sleep does not count. When was the last time your brain stopped and your body just stopped? Go. It sounds like people actually had an experience. Did people experience stopping? There's a lot of conversation. Or is it all people just complaining that they don't ever experience stopping? I was a teacher for 15 years, and every school holidays I guaranteed that my body would get sick because all of a sudden the whole term caught up with me. I stopped. And sickness actually drew me to a stop, and I desperately went on overseas holidays just to get away. So every other struggle. Can anyone else relate to that? That when you go on holidays, you get out of here. All the responsibility goes, my mind can calm. When I was preparing for this, I was chatting with Randall before. This is my first topical sermon. And when you're preparing for a topical sermon, it's really interesting what Jesus tells you to do. I'm pretty much going to share the most vulnerable parts of my life with you this morning. So here we go. Jesus said, share this, so I'm going to share this. It was June of 2014 when I was walking past my bedroom at my parents' place. I'd moved back home. I was in a relationship with a person who was overseas, and we were applying for a visa for him to come to the country for us to get married. So walking past my bedroom window, and on the bookshelf was this book, the Book of Esther. Side note, the Book of Esther is the only book that I know of in the Bible that never mentions God directly. Never mentions God, never mentions Jesus. Jesus said to me, "Start this." It was a random, spontaneous thought that literally came into my mind. My attention was drawn to that bookshelf. Me being Beck, I just went, "Well, that sounds like a nice idea. That sounds good." So I did it. I started looking at the study of Esther. It's interesting. God started speaking to me. Little did I know, 2 weeks later, my relationship would end. All of my hopes, my dreams, everything that I had wrapped up in that moment, pinned on that relationship, was crushed. But I was studying the Book of Esther and spending this time with God. God had prepared me 2 weeks earlier for these moments, these times together. After my breakup, the times looked a little bit different. Because of my brokenness, I just had to sit in God's presence, in his stillness, and actually listen to what he had to say. I was talking to Shan about it the other night, and I look back, particularly over this time of brokenness in my life, with such joy. This was the most precious time I've ever experienced in God's presence, and I crave that more. In Psalm 46, verse 10, it says, "Be still and know that I am God." And my experience during that period of time is I had to be still. I had nothing left. And I really knew God was God. And I crave that more. When I was asking Jesus about this sermon, he asked me to share that part, what he had done through moments of stillness in my life to take a transformational moment in the way that I see time with Jesus and how precious it is for me. So today, we're focusing on a second key about becoming quiet, becoming still. How do we actually decompress? And for many of you, as I'm talking right now, you have a to-do list in your head that you're possibly ranking through. That's okay. Our minds are racing. Sometimes our bodies are racing in the life that we lead. And becoming still is an important characteristic of actually walking in a life of following Jesus. This time of being still means that we can actually hear God. We prepare ourselves to actually hear what he wants to say. Oh, missed my Nike slogan. I kept saying to Jesus, okay, what big chunk of the Bible are we going to step through to have an example of this? And he said, it's a really simple idea, Beck. I did it, so you just do it. That's it. Of course, I was a teenager in the 90s, so because the Nike tick then came to my mind, and so in my head now I've got, like, just do it. It's a Nike slogan in Jesus' voice. That's not an advertisement for Nike, just putting it out there. Jesus told us in Matthew 6, verse 6, when we pray that we go to this quiet space and meet with the Father. In the life that Jesus lived, we see it time and time and time again. He retreated to the quiet place. He left the crowds and met with the Father. That last song that the worship band, Awesome Worship, thank you so much, Ben, played for us, "Come to the Altar." The Father calls us to this space, and we just actually have to prioritize it. We have to find it in ourselves and actually find it in our lives. We become still in our minds and in our bodies so that our heart can know and sense that God is working in us. We actually actively have to engage with this. We actively have to start quieting our mind and body down so we can actually sense God moving. It's a process that we have to respond to. Over the last couple of weeks, we have been looking at a couple of key things. I just wanted to recap before I go further. But my hope is this is what you walk out of here today feeling. Some little tips in how to quiet our mind and quiet our body so we can sense God moving. That is my hope. So over the last couple of weeks, we've looked at this idea of logos, so the written word. God can speak to us through his written word. We love the word. It is precious to us, spirit-filled, and it speaks directly to us. We also have the rhema words, specific revelation that will come for you in specific moments of your life. And it's in these kind of rhema words that the stillness can actually allow that revelation to come into your life. Randall also spoke last week about a couple of different voices that you might sense in your inner self. If we believe in Jesus, the Holy Spirit lives with us. It's in us. We all have to allow it to speak to us, but it's there. We also have our own stuff, our emotions and our will. And we also have potential for the enemy to be disruptive. Another voice that will seek to drain the life out of you. You are made in the image of God. You're actually designed to hear from God in this stillness. There's nothing about who you are that isn't actually designed by God to be still in his presence. Genesis 1:27 talks about us being made in the image of God. First and foremost in your life, you are actually made to hear from him. You're made to be in relationship with him. This beautiful picture of Adam and Eve walking in the garden. I don't know what that looks like in reality. How does God walk in the garden with Adam and Eve? But the reality is that we are made in relationship. That's what Jesus has brought us back to. It is our birthright as a co-heir in Christ, as a new creation, as Paul puts it in Corinthians, it is our birthright to sit at the Father's feet in quietness and actually hear him and really hear him. When I was praying about this sermon, this slide particularly I felt was for Sunday at 10. I don't know why. But I felt like God was really wanting to emphasize for you that the relationship with the Abba Father, that quiet time that you spend with him, actually is what works out in all other relationships. All other relationships flow out of the time that you spend with the Father, the relationship that you build with him there. There is nothing that is more important than that relationship and spending time in that quietness with him. In the Hebrew, which is most of the Old Testament, we actually have three sort of definitions or translations of be still. They're all active words. Stop striving. Let go. Promise I won't break into song. And surrender. Sound really easy, don't they? Stop striving, just let go, surrender. Easy to do. Great, we'll move on to the next slide. It's probably one of the hardest parts of being still is actually getting ourselves to a point that we can do these things. So I just want to talk through sort of two things that we can look at to try and achieve this stopping striving, this letting go and surrender, so that our mind and our body can actually just rest and our heart can know the movements of God. Randall laughed at my picture of Jesus. I like this picture of Jesus. Jesus was in your neighborhood. Would you make time to have a coffee with him? Would you invite him over for dinner? Would you do that every day? Or would you just do it maybe once or twice a month? The reality is, he is living. And in order for us to actually hear that voice of God, we need to quiet ourselves down and become still. So, two things. Remove all your distractions and just be quiet your inner being. I feel like a death glares from all of the parents. That's really easy for you to say. You don't have children. I don't have children. But I do have distractions. See, no matter what we have in our life, we always will have distractions. No matter what season of life we are in, We will always have distractions. Sometimes it can be harder to find spaces. I totally understand. But we always have distractions. Currently, my distraction is Netflix. Going to be honest with you. Yep. I'm confession time. It's my almost, in my brain, it kind of goes, oh, that's the way you cope with how much stress you've got, Beck. Just watch TV. Can tell you it doesn't work. Particularly on the week that you're supposed to be preaching about being still in God's presence. It's interesting how many of those distractions come up. So we need to remove external distractions. And we need to think about how we get our inner being quiet. Removing distractions. As Matthew 6:6 says, Jesus tells us, go to a quiet place and pray with the Father. It's in the Word. He tells us to do it. We have to make a choice. Do we actually prioritize that? If he said it to you face to face, would you be more likely to do it? Somewhere alone and undisturbed. Notice I haven't put a length of time. There is no length of time too small or too big to actually spend with the Father. Set a time, a specific place that you actually can have these conversations with Jesus. And you need to practically prioritize it. This is not stuff you haven't heard before. And this is probably stuff that you maybe asked God to help you with before. What I'm hoping today is that I actually can find a moment for you where you are alone, undisturbed, and you can actually have some time with God to practice this. As a family, it's something that we can actually help each other do. What do you put into place to actually help yourself and brothers and sisters find that space with God? Yeah, I don't know why Jesus asked me to share things like this. Last time I shared about the gym, it was a little bit because I was excited about how I was traveling. This is just more really vulnerable. This is me, like at 6 a.m. in the morning, trying to lift weights. But Jesus was saying to me that actually hearing God's voice, actually practicing quietness, you need to actually practice. It's a skill that you need to actually build up. It doesn't come like that. It's taken me 6 months, and still I'm not great at it, to become more aware of muscles I didn't even know that I had when I'm at the gym. And it's the same with hearing God's voice and finding that stillness. What are the distractions I didn't even know I had? What are the tensions that I didn't even know I had? When we actually get to a point of seeking stillness and actually sitting in stillness because we practice it, we become much more aware of what's going on around us and much more aware of God's voice. Okay, in across the creek, there is a little, now I've given away my little thing. Has everyone got a little handout in across the creek? It's a little tiny white, thanks Tam, well you probably need that one, that's all right. I'll find another one. Oh, thanks Tam. It's a little four keys to being still handout. Now, please be tempted, Randall's going to hand out some pens, please be tempted not to write anything on it yet. Don't write anything yet, teacher in me coming out. You can write your name if you want, that's fine. There you go, Lucy, that you can write your name on it. Because in a moment, I just want to go through this a little bit because this is some of the practical ways that we actually get to a point of quieting our inner being. So removing distractions will look different for each person. But quieting our inner being kind of has five areas that I just want to look at. I've put the Bible verses down the bottom if you want to use them as a reference a little bit later on. But I'm going to walk down here because I can. Did you get another one, Tim? So there are pens handing around too. So the first one is a little bit like our physical being. What's actually happening in ourself right now? You're physically tense or you're calm? Don't fill it in yet. We'll have a moment. We focus our attention. What is it to actually have our attention focused on God? Can we get our quiet inner being to a point where we focus on Jesus? Sometimes it's helpful to actually use your imagination. David and Elijah, I kept pronouncing it wrong this morning. Use music. Often use music to create a space. Often use imagination. Randall talked about the right-brainedness last week of intuition, allowing God to speak through our whole being. So are we focusing our attention on Jesus? Are we trying to control everything and hold everything together? That was not me. Or are we letting it go? Whatever it is in our heart, whatever it is we're holding on to, just get a sense where you're at. Even at this point, we're not even asking Jesus to do anything with it. We're just getting a sense of what's actually going on in my inner self. Are we receptive? Are we joined to Jesus? How much are we engaged with the flow from the Father? Or are we actively trying to do our own thing in life? Are we going through analytical thought, rationalizing what we think Jesus might say, boxing what we think Jesus might do, or actually just having a mind that it's at rest and allowing spontaneous thought to flow? I want to put a side note on analytical thought. God's a God of logic. He's a God of rational logic. He's a God of logic. We want his logic. We want his rationalism. We want his wisdom. We don't want our own. So just be aware of that. It's not a... It's boxing God into places. So, little mini experiment for the family. Are we ready? Great. We're going to practice quieting our inner being and getting a sense of where your inner being is at. So I would like you, I see fear. No, I don't. Speak that out. I'd like you to find a place. You do not have to be confined to the chairs that you are in. If the place is on the floor, that's fine. And we're going to spend just 5 minutes in silence, absolute silence. And I'd like you just to sit with the Father and see if you can place where you're at in quieting your inner being. Okay. Go. Just take a moment and have a look up on the screen. There's a list of challenges. Wonder what you're experiencing of trying to quiet your inner self was. Did you have a lot of things in your mind that you had to do? Maybe sin came to mind. Did your mind kind of go like this, flitting about? Did you find it difficult to work out what your heart was actually saying? How receptive you were? Or did you just keep thinking about, I don't actually have time for this? When am I going to have time for this? Just with the person next to you, just share a little bit about what your experience, to the level that you feel comfortable, what your experience was about trying to get quiet. What did you experience as you tried to go down this list to get quiet? What did you experience? Is there anyone that found this really easy and circled four on everything and just smashed out life? Anyone circle four on everything, got this down, smashed it out? Yep. I think it's really important to know that actually everyone struggles with this. None of us. Over control. You're trying to like micromanage kind of your thoughts and control actually everything. Yeah, so you're trying to control your thoughts rather than actually releasing them to Jesus. So I often think of control of thoughts is I will bring something to Jesus, I will release it, and then I will get it and I will take it back again and I will control it. So over-control is overthinking, overworking, trying to find your own solution. Yeah. Yes. Good work, Hamish. That's good. Do you know the reality is kids are probably more likely to do this better than we as adults are? They're more likely to hear God's voice. They're more likely to be able to be calm and be still. And they're more likely to be much more open. Unfortunately, as adults, as we journey through our experiences, sometimes it can become harder and harder to hear God and harder for us to actually become quiet. My encouragement is, I cannot force you, my encouragement is, keep this. Try and find a space in your week where you can sit with this again. I used to have at small group the prayer point of Jesus, I'd like to spend more quiet time with Jesus every week. And in my head, it had to look like, you know, a certain length of time for a certain amount every day. But as soon as I let go of that, that's an example of over control. As soon as I let go of that picture of what I thought it should look like and just actually embraced any time that I could sit down and talk with Jesus, I found that I wanted to do that more. It moved from these are the things, a rule that I must do, to actually something that I loved to do. Does anyone really struggle with time? Just me and Randall. Okay, three of us. Three of us are honest. Most of the rest of you, I'm sure, struggle a little bit with time. An interesting point, if you find time a real challenge to find time to actually spend with Jesus, don't disregard the automatic activities that you might be doing. So I'm careful in how I say this, but often when I'm driving, Jesus and I are having a conversation. There'd be times in the car that I am like crying because of the conversation, good tears, the conversation that I'm having. Those automatic kind of activities that we do, like driving, it's not great to get to a point that you can't actually see what you're doing on the road. So I just want to make sure that we're safe on the roads, you follow road rules, so on and so forth. But actually driving by yourself in a car can be a great space to actually have a conversation with Jesus out loud. The other space that, this is a weird visual, the other space is the shower. I often have conversations with Jesus in the shower. It's a time where I'm alone. Again, mums particularly, sometimes I know that you're not alone in the shower, but the reality is there are spaces where we actually have time alone. Think of those automatic activities. You might be making kids' lunches in the kitchen. Where can we actually sit where we're alone and have space? It's lovely if we can have that space and sit in the quiet, but there are other moments of quiet that you might be able to interject this stillness into. Has anyone noticed stillness has become a very big thing recently? Like meditation, becoming one, stillness? Or is that just me because I'm hypersensitive to it? When we talk about stillness, we're talking about getting our bodies to a point that we can hear from God. We're not talking the new agey like nothingness. All right, so it's important to keep that clear. There's actually something substantial that we're trying to connect in with. If Jesus had told me in June 2014 to break up with my partner, I would not have been able to hear that. It's not something I was able to hear. Instead, he said, start this study. I could hear that. I had such an idol of relationships that there was no way that I would have been able to hear break up with that person. Heart idols can really influence what we hear from God. These are things in our life that we hold in our consciousness more than we hold the vision of who Jesus is and what he can do. These can be good things that becomes everything, and we hold them more closely than we hold Jesus. Relationships are good things, but if we hold to them more tightly than we hold to Jesus, then that is not how life will work. I was having an interesting conversation with a four-year-old in the car on Friday, and we were talking about marriage and why I'm not married. She's the most awesome kid. Her mum said to me, should I stop this conversation? I'm like, no, because this is real. She said, why are you not married? I said, because I want the one that Jesus wants for me. That idol in my life has now been broken. I want the one that Jesus wants for me. Idols can be really hard to see and really hard to know, but they can distort what we hear from the Father. I wonder if you have something that you're holding really tightly to. More tightly in the vision than the vision of Jesus. See, it wasn't until I actually had some prayer with Sam and Claire Pierce, two of our great members of our church family, that the revelation came through that I needed to break up the relationship. I couldn't hear that myself. I needed the family to help me in this. How can idols actually impact that still, quiet space and what you hear from God in that space? On the back of your little, what's this? Insert is a great big blank page. I'd really just like to give you another moment of stillness with God. Prayer is a two-way communication. It's not a monologue. We can ask Jesus, is there anything bigger in my life than him? Sometimes it's hard to hear. Or maybe you want to ask, is there anything you would like to say to me about being still? Is there anything in your heart right now that you actually want to say to him about either being still or just that he needs to speak into? Alf's going to play a very low music, no wordsy kind of track. As I said before, can it go back? Is it backwards not working? Can you go backwards? Can you go to the David slide, please, Alf? Can you go to David? Oh, was that me? Is that you? Okay, thanks. David used music and imagery. There's lots of people that use music and imagery, but David, through his psalms, they were actually meant to be sung. Psalm 46 that Cheryl read to us, verse 10, says, "Be still and know that I am God. Let go and know that I am God. Surrender and know that I am God." So as we sit in this stillness, my prayer for you is that you'll be able to sit, ask him, is there anything on his heart, on your heart, that's stopping you hearing from him in this stillness? What does he want to say to you about being still? And then we'll come back together and I'll pray for us. I was praying for you. I feel like Jesus was saying, the only true rest that you will ever receive is in the stream of the living water of his presence and quietness in that stream builds capacity. Quietness in that stream brings wisdom. Often Jesus uses the analogy of water. And we thirst for Jesus. But he has an overflow of water to give us. And sitting in stillness in that stream is all you will ever need for every relationship that you will ever have, for every situation that you will ever have. Let me pray. Jesus, bless this family. We thank you for the stream of living water that brings real rest. We thank you that you give us the Holy Spirit that speaks within us. We thank you that you can actually help us become still. I pray that as your people we would prioritize being still in the stream of your living water. That true rest is found in that stream because we know it comes from you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, that no matter how much time we give you, you multiply that time endlessly. We thank you that's your character and your faithfulness, that you are life-giving, loving, and compassionate. We pray as a family that we would be representatives of you who listen and quietly hear your voice. And that is the source of how we walk out following you, Jesus. We pray this in your name. Amen.